All right, today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app and join Adam Armbrecht and me following Game 2 Monday night. So when you're listening to this, Game 2 Monday night to get in on the action. Locker Room changing the way we talk sports. All right, flying solo here on the podcast. Going to talk about the James Harden injury, what it means for the team. Going to talk about what we could see from the Brooklyn Nets in Game 2 as they try to make up for some of those lost minutes that they did at the first game. What can we expect from Game 2? Also going to talk about some of the adjustments the Bucks might make as well. Going to get in on all the action here, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Including over the weekend with a bonus episode. I'm Doug Norrie, owner-operator, DFSR.com. If you need a projection, NBA, NHL, well, that season's going here in the playoffs, MLB, it's all up for you there on DFSR.com. And typically, got Adam Armbrecht here, but he is off tonight. That man has been covering the Locked On Nets feed here for a couple days, like I said last time around. When you saw only one set of footprints in the sand over here on Locked On Nets, that was Adam carrying me. He was on with Kane Pittman last week, on with Matty Brooks. I owe him a couple days here for sure, and we're going to give it to you here in this podcast leading up to Game 2 against the Milwaukee Bucks following Saturday's awesome win over the Bucks in a game that really Adam and I got on the feed right away to do a bonus episode. Our idea was to do just a few minutes on it, and we ended up doing basically a full episode. If you didn't see that over the weekend, go back and check it out. We jumped on right after the game ended, and we had such a wide range of feelings about what was going on here because it. You know, in the one sense, you get Harden, and we're going to talk about that in a second, going down in the first minute. And then you get one of just the best wins of the year. No, nothing else to really say about it. I mean, tons to say about it, more than enough to say about it. But it really, when you boil it all down and distill it down, that win that they had on Saturday night against the Bucks after being dealt such a huge blow with the Harden thing really, really early, ended up just being a full team win. It was unreal. Going to talk, you know, some other things we learned about it, kind of takeaways, things they did during the game that I thought they can probably maybe hope to recreate, some things that maybe we got a little lucky. I think there's a little bit of sense of that. But in terms of effort, it was really just unparalleled. It was just crazy. The effort, the energy, everything that they brought basically from the second Harden went down. There were some quotes after the game that they basically looked at each other and said, "Hey, we got this." And Blake Griffin said that in his post game presser. Said, "You know, we can't get crazy down about this. You know, Harden's our. Yeah, I'm sure they didn't say this in the huddle, but he's our second best player. He's one of the top 10 players in the league. And when a guy like that goes down for you, it can be a devastating loss. The team didn't show any of it and came back and won. Now we do know." That there's some Harden news here. And the Harden news going into Game 2 is that he is out and he's re-aggravated the hamstring that kept him out for more than a month earlier in the season. We lost him from, let's look at the day. Yeah, they lost him from April 5th until May 12th is when he ended up coming back. And it took him 1 minute. Now, look, he played a bunch. He played from the last few regular season games and obviously was playing throughout the Celtics series, so it wasn't like he just stepped right back on the court and re-injured it. Maybe a few days off got him there, or maybe this was just an injury that was sort of hanging by a thread anyway. They did say it was just hamstring tightness, and he's going to be reevaluated again in a couple of days. Look, we know with the Nets that injury timelines can be sort of up in the air. Right when a guy's getting reevaluated, they're usually at the right end of the bell curve in terms of when the guy actually comes back. So the Nets aren't under any obligation to tell you the exact day that any of these guys are coming back. I think we know from following this team for a long time that when they say someone's going to be reevaluated, that's when they're going to start looking, but there's no, the timeline is not going to be a day or two, right? This could be, frankly, no, judging by how this has happened before, this could be the end of the playoffs for Harden. That's just sort of just making it up based on things that have happened in the past. I don't have any clear news about that. All we have is, you know, what the Nets have said so far. But we do know he's not going to go in game two here. We know it's the same right hamstring. And we know that this is a really devastating loss when you start thinking about the Nets championship sort of aspirations. They went all in on Harden, I mean, for the most part. You know, they've made a huge trade and they consolidated the talent around the big three with the hope that all three guys would be healthy come postseason. And they were in the first series and they're not now. So where does that leave the Nets? I'll say a couple things. One, in terms of just overall odds for this series, winning the first game was a huge get for this team. To have him go down and still win that first game, the series started at the Bucks at +175. They are at +187 now over at our friends over at Bet Online. You have to think that if this is a fully healthy team, that number, I mean, it's -217 for the Nets. I think that would probably look more like 250, -300 even if they're fully healthy, having the Nets won the first game. The fact that it's sort of still sort of in the same range where it started is only having to do with the fact that Harden is hurt. So the Nets are still favored in the series, but not commiserate with a healthy team that had just won the first game, if that makes sense what I'm saying. So Vegas has adjusted that the Harden news in here. I think as a Nets fan, you're still feeling good when you win that first game. Mathematically, it's easier for you to win the series than it is for the other team. But no one can look at this and say the Nets are in good shape here. This is a really, really tough position to be in. They're down their second best player. We're going to get to Jeff Green. They're still going to be down Jeff Green in this game. They had a lot go right in that first one. And now they're going to walk into a second game where I think the Bucks are going to look at that and say, well, that, you know, this game got away from us. The Harden thing that maybe we planned, we had some game plans in place, and this Nets team sort of brought themselves up and rose up out of the ashes of that injury to start and had a lot of things go right for them. I don't think you see the Bucks really get worried about this situation. I wonder if they'll actually be galvanized knowing that Harden's not going to play, that they're going to have a game plan, that they're not going to have to deal with this offensive onslaught that the big three give you when all three are healthy, where you can just stagger their minutes and never get a break. So you have to be concerned. If you're a Nets fan, there's no way around that. You have to be. You feel great that they won the first game. And when you get the news about Harden, now it's great news that it's not the MRI came back clean and it's just tightness. That is actually good news. But it was a quick rule out for game two. And the reason I say it was that I kind of give the timeline around that is this wasn't like he was going to test it pregame in warmups. We saw this with AD in the Lakers series. Well, he's gonna get out there and warm up and try it out. That means he's close-ish. Now, the AD thing didn't really work out. Obviously, he left after a few minutes. But the fact that Harden's ruled out 24 hours before the game even starts means that he's kind of pretty far away, I think. I think that most people could look at that and make a pretty clear statement about where he is in terms of timeline. So, like I said, you feel good about the series price. You have to feel bad about Harden. You have to feel bad not knowing when he's going to come back. You have to now look at this series and say, they're not underdogs, obviously, but the series probably is much more like even going forward, or maybe they are underdogs if this series were to start over again. I wonder where these odds would be had they not won that first game. I think that'd be an interesting thing to look at. So going into game two, I think we need to be a little bated breath. I think we need to worry a little bit about Harden. No way around it. We wanted to keep the excitement on Saturday's podcast. If you want to hear the excitement, go over to Saturday's podcast. That's where all the excitement sort of lives. Adam and I jumping on, kind of talking about Harden there for a second and then just going absolutely nuts about what the Nets did in terms of energy and stuff. But now that we know that he's not going to play in game two, we have to look at how they're going to come out and play. We got to see what kind of adjustments each team ends up making. We'll talk about that in a second. First, have to talk to you about our friends over at Indeed. If you are the hiring expert for your company, what you really need is help making a short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner to make your life easier. You need Indeed. It's the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post. That's 1. Screen. That's 2. Interview. That's 3. All on Indeed. You're going to get a quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster, and you're only going to pay for the candidates that meet those must-have qualifications. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. They even have Instant Match, which can give you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job's description immediately. And you can choose from more than 130 skills tests. And then you add those must-have requirements. So you only pay for applications that meet those requirements. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times, love the stats, 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your post at Indeed.com/locked, just like our podcast network. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked, Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. And when you're done with all your hiring needs, you're going to need something to boost the energy, get a little protein into that body, and that's where you're going to need Built Bar. First, you got to choose your Built Bar favorite flavor. I say you got to choose because there's so many to choose from. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, not ice cream flavors, folks. Actual protein bars, the best tasting protein bar on the market. You probably had other protein bars in the past, taste like cardboard and sponge combined, not Built Bar. There's a reason my family just absolutely runs for these boxes when they come in the mail. That's because Built Bar, there's just nothing better. Built Bar, look, sometimes these ad reads are hard. Sometimes they're very easy. Built Bar makes it super easy. And then you want the stats, 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. Those are the numbers you like to hear. Go over to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, today on Road to the Finals, hopefully for the Brooklyn Nets, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Going to give you a little bit of an idea to what to keep an eye out for with the Nets tonight in terms of the rotations, how they can continue that road to the finals. It's going to be a tough one. Does Nash have another card to play? Let's talk about it here. All right, what happens here with game 2? So we know Nash came out with Harden and said that they're hopeful he returns for this series. They have to kind of, I'm paraphrasing here, that they have to protect him, that, you know, they want to see him out there. They know it's just tightness, but this is coach speak. They're never going to give a hard timeline. Nash was even, he came out and said that he's not going to give a hard timeline. He can't. That's just one of these things that could be day to day. Like I said, I feel like it's going to be a few more days. So what happens here for game 2? Bruce Brown was who came in and played at least that first rotation in place of Harden. I think he probably ends up getting the start again. I don't believe they came out and said who the starting lineup was going to be. I do believe it's going to be Bruce Brown in the lineup. Now, Bruce Brown only played 21 minutes in that first game. And Mike James was the one who came in and played the heavier minute share. He ended up playing 30 minutes. Adam and I didn't talk too much about the Mike James performance from last game. I know Adam wanted to. It was just one of those things that sort of got left on the cutting room floor when it was all said and done from our bonus episode. I don't think, even though Mike James played those minutes, that he's going to get the start. He's probably going to come in as a secondary ball handler or primary ball handler in that first rotation just to give probably Kyrie a spell. That's going to be my guess. I think they'll probably use Bruce Brown in the starting lineup to try to flash sort of interior defense at Giannis. They did that at times when they didn't have Blake on him, was they would kind of bring Bruce Brown as the primary defender and then flash someone else at him like Blake or Claxton at times, or sometimes Claxton got switched on to him. Obviously, he's not going to be the primary defender there on Giannis, but he offers something. It's crazy to call Bruce Brown an interior player at this point. He's not an interior player, but he clearly plays like one. So I think that when you have, you can sort of get away with Bruce Brown, at least to start, when you have Kyrie and KD on the court together, because those guys provide so much offense that even though Bruce Brown isn't going to give you a ton, the other two make up for it. Now, the problem is that Bruce Brown's sort of like the way that he best operates, which is flashing to the rim, these like the short rolls, all that stuff that he's done over the course of the season. KD and Kyrie really don't open that kind of stuff up for him. This is why you ended up only seeing him play 21 minutes in that game. I think partly was because of this. He's more of like a Harden kind of guy. Harden can find him. Harden can kind of catch him flashing to the rim. Harden can open that space. He's a much better facilitator. This is Harden. That allows for Bruce Brown to play lots of minutes. I found the Mike James thing to be interesting because, and Adam made a good point during the game. And again, we didn't talk too much about this on the last podcast, but the way that Harden plays with being on ball a lot and Kyrie sort of having played off ball to a certain degree, that Mike James actually fits that billing a little better than, say, a Bruce Brown, because he can handle some of the offensive initiation to start, and then the other guys can sort of play off what Mike James creates. Is he James Harden? Obviously not. My God, no. But maybe what he does is a little closer to what Harden does than, say, a Bruce Brown. Right down to the step back three that he absolutely loves to take, and he made one in the first game that he played for the Nets, and I think thinks that he's going to sort of hit that all the time. I know he hit 2 for 4 from three in the first game. I think what the 30 minutes of plus 12 that they got from Mike James in the first game is going to probably be the best 30 minutes that he plays all series. It's not a dig on him. It's Mike James. I think we understand sort of what he is. He's great. He was an awesome late season addition. He's really been able to contribute a lot. He's probably going to continue to play minutes here. That's the kind of thing that if the Bucks continue to see that, they're going to figure it out. So, but I do think that Adam made a good point about saying that he's maybe, you know, a bit more, he plays a bit more like Harden than some of the other guys on the team. If they want to keep the offensive sets in that sort of range, then Mike James does make at least a little bit of sense to have play, a few more minutes than some of these other guys. After that, I do think the Nets are in a tough spot here with the minutes. I think we're going to continue to see major minutes from Durant and Kyrie. I think they have to. Kyrie played 45 in the first game. Durant played 40, and those were high intensity minutes. These aren't just 40 minutes is a ton. 45 minutes is a million, right? In an NBA game. I don't think there's any question about that. But when you minutes can sort of be created differently. You can have minutes where you play a lot of minutes, but you manage them by not having the best defensive assignment, by sort of taking it easy on the other end. KD didn't, those 40 minutes for him were full on both ends of the court. And that's a lot for him. And I'm not sure that he can keep that up over the course of a series. Kyrie, same thing. These were high energy minutes during game one where they were just giving it all on both ends of the court. It's not exactly sustainable for them to be able to do that. So where are they going to get more minutes? Can you really expect Kyrie Irving to run 45 minutes a game for however many games this series goes? Definitely not. Can you hope that KD can play 40 minutes a game? I mean, you can hope he does. If you're going to need that much from him defensively, it's going to get tough and it's going to start probably having slightly diminishing returns. So we get 30 minutes out of Mike James. You get the 21 out of Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown's probably going to need to play more. You get 14 out of Claxton. You love the 14 that he gave to Flash to Giannis. Got some, he picked, whose pocket did he pick? He, on the defensive end, he got called into a switch, and we definitely saw some of the, sort of that vintage, it's great to call it this, vintage Claxton defense. You probably need more than 14 minutes out of him. You got 35 minutes out of Blake in an absolute turn back the clock game. I do not think you can expect to do that over the course of a 7-game series. I'm just playing math here. It's not because I don't want it to happen. I loved every single minute. Every single minute of the 35 minutes that Blake played in that first game were awesome. I actually got texts from non-Nets fans that were texting about Blake's game. This is how you know how great that game was, that they're talking about just what he brought. My buddy James said he was playing like a guy on senior night that got kind of able to play for the first time and was just going absolutely balls out. And he was definitely right. That was you loved every single second that Blake brought. Can he play 35 minutes a game in this series when he's asked to guard Giannis on one end of the court? No. That's just, again, this is it's mad. I mean, they can try it. It's, again, going to have diminishing returns. So where are they going to get these extra minutes? Alize Johnson, he's available. He played 1 minute. You really can't play him. I think you do need to see more Claxton minutes. I think he needs to probably get up toward 20 minutes. I just don't even know where they go here. This is one of my concerns with these games going forward, is that there's just not more cards to play. With no Jeff Green, we talked about what kind of loss that was already to start. With no Jeff Green and now no Harden, two guys that you were probably expecting going into the series to get something like 70 minutes a game out of, 40 and 30. I think that's a realistic number. Even if Jeff Green didn't start, he was probably going to be closing. This is 70 minutes of top tier sort of minutes that you need to find other places. They grab some of it from, they grab some of it from Blake. They grab some of it from the Stars. They got 30 out of Mike James. It's just really hard to think about where these come from. So I think this is going to be interesting. These first rotations, I really want to see where they go against a really long team like Milwaukee, who can switch everything on defense, who just offer all kinds of length problems. Can they play these really small lineups? Probably not. So I think everything we need to kind of tune into is where these early rotations go and what Nash wants to do to be able to give KD and Kyrie some rest, a few minutes off. What can they do? Can they win any minutes? Can they just play neutral minutes? Can they take both off the court at the same time? I think that's going to be really, really tough to do. Can the Nets maybe step on the gas really early in this game and get out to a little bit of a lead so you feel a little bit better, maybe just giving a guy a longer spell? This is the stuff that we need to be tuned in really early in this game to see how it works out. And if it sounds like I'm concerned, look, I am concerned. Go back. If you want the excitement, go back and listen to last podcast where we just go nuts about the game. All the excitement's there. Now that we've had sort of 24 hours to digest what the Harden injury means, what it means to not have Jeff Green, we need to start being realistic. That's all it is. I was up and out of my seat with everybody else on Saturday. But now we see where this is going, and we need to start looking for what the Nets are going to do in the chess match that is a seven-game series. And this make no doubt about it, these are chess matches. There's a reason that the team that wins the first game, that's not how they don't win, go on and win every other game. There's adjustments that are made. Teams need to figure out the personnel, what works, what doesn't. We saw this with the Clippers and the Mavs, right? They go to Boban, they play the cards that they can have, and they see if it can work out. Sometimes you run out of cards. So what I'm looking for in this game is the first rotations. I think we see a lot of the same defensive sets. They ran Blake against Giannis. They tried to flash doubles. They kind of pinched down and allowed him to not get a full head of steam. But they said you can take the outside shot if you want, but you're not going to get a ton of momentum going to the basket. I think that mostly worked. We'll see if we see any adjustments. I mean, can we hope that they shoot, 20% or something like that from three again? We can hope for it. That's the kind of thing that will win you the series if they continue to run bad from beyond the arc. So where are the Nets going to go with the rotations? Where are they going to grab these extra minutes? How are they going to just stem the tide to keep KD and Kyrie at least a little bit fresh to be able to close games? This is the kind of stuff that we're going to look for going into game two. Going to talk a little bit about what you might see from the Bucks. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at betonline.ag. Already mentioned these Nets series prices, -217 to take it over the Bucks, even after winning game one. That's the kind of action you can get over at BetOnline. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Nets are -1.5 going into game two. Head on over to betonline.ag. Sign up. That's totally free. But when you do, you're going to want to make a deposit. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. Just got to use that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, some final thoughts here on the game before we get out of here as we prep for game two. Just a reminder, also going to be on Locker Room following the game, so go and check that out. Download the app, join Adam and I we'll do a podcast, and then we will have you come up and talk about the game if you want to. They'll always have a great time over on Locker Room, so make sure you go check that out. What do the Bucks do going into game two? I'm not sure they do a ton different. PJ Tucker got the start. That was for defensive purposes only, obviously. I don't know if they make a change. He guarded Durant. He was the primary defender on Durant a ton. It's a problem for Durant to sort of have PJ just kind of bird dogging him the entire time and then having these other guys be able to switch onto him. I think they probably continue with it. I will say, if there's going to be a switch in the starting lineup with Harden out, this would be the time to do it because you just don't need to have as much defense into the game. It's still helpful for the Bucks to have an extra defender into the game like this with PJ, where he's just going to be pick and roll corner three guy. I mean, he's not on the pick and roll. He's going to be wide open corner three guy when the pick and roll just kind of breaks down and they're able to pass it out of it. But I'm not sure that they need to do that in this game again. So I wouldn't be shocked to see like a Bryn Forbes or Connaughton get the start here, specifically Forbes, only because you can just ask for a little bit more offense because you're not as worried about the defensive part of it. That's just me guessing at this. They probably just stick with PJ because it just, you know, makes a lot of sense defensively. And you can, again, you can have him pick up fouls. You can have him be really physical with Durant. There's a lot of problems that he causes Durant, over the course of the game. He's just a great defender. So I think they probably stick with it. Like I said, the only reason I think that they can make a change is because they just don't need to be as defensively minded without Harden in the game. And so it'll be that's an interesting piece that I'm going to be looking out for. What do they want to do with their starting lineup? Where do they want to get more minutes? Do they want to get more offense? Because clearly, the shooting became a problem for the Bucks in game one. I mentioned before, they only shot 20% from three. That's unlikely to continue over the course of the season. By the way, a little underrated thing also, shot 58% from the line. I know some of that is Giannis, where he's just not a great free throw shooter. He only went to the line three times, missed all three. Again, not likely to continue over the course of a series. Giannis is just going to get fouled more over, you know, as the series goes on, no doubt about it. So take a look for if they do make a change in the starting lineup. Most teams don't do this early. The fact that they lost the first game and there's just been this huge switch in the Nets personnel might mean that they can do it. And I wouldn't be shocked to see it happen. And they might just want to get more 3-point shooting because Bryn Forbes just has a little bit more creative power. Is a good shooter, is a good offensive player. He played 22 minutes in that first game. I know he went 1-for-5. That's not really the expectation for him going forward. I was shocked at Jeff Teague's 14 minutes. I don't think those are set to continue. I was shocked at Portis only 17 minutes. I think those could go up also because he does create some matchup problems with the Nets. So I do think we see a different minute share for the Bucks in this game. And that's mostly because they're game planning for a different Nets team that they did the first game. Remember, they went into that game thinking that they were going to get the big three and needing to just switch everything and just figure out how they're going to slow everyone down and speed bump that offense. They know they don't have to do that now. So I think you're going to see maybe a different game plan with the minutes. Sometimes that stuff is tough to change on the fly. That we did sort of see that happening in the first game. Like I said, T gets 14 minutes. But I do think you could see a much more clear plan against a no Harden team. They did not have that plan in the first game. They didn't know Harden was going to go out in the first minute. Now they know he's not in the game. Let's see what kind of changes they make that point more clearly to the Nets team that they know they're getting in this game. I think this is interesting, man. Like, we usually don't see this kind of switch game to game from one game to another in a playoff series where we could see just very dramatic changes, especially in how the Bucks approach it. Again, it's all thrown out the window. They were expecting to have James Harden out there. They were expecting the Nets to throw this out there and to have to sort of counter what that brought for the team. They know they don't have to worry about it. And I wouldn't be shocked if that gives them a lot of confidence, even with the fact that they lost this first game. We saw this Bucks team come out very confident against the Heat. They rolled the Heat in that first round. they looked awesome in that first round. I think they're going to look at these numbers from this first game and say, hey, they kind of just like, they got a little lucky here, the Nets. They can't keep that up over the course of a series. And if we make an adjustment or two, or just hit a few more shots, we got this. I'm worried about that. You can tell, again, you can tell that I'm a little bit worried about this series still, just because of maybe what's coming down the pike. But I do think we could see a different Bucks sort of in terms of personnel, in terms of rotations. I think it's going to look a lot different this game than it did the first. Just another thing to keep an eye out for. All right, join us in Locker Room after game two. Make sure you visit all the sponsors, Bet Online, Indeed, Built Bar. They're all there for you, making your life better. We will be back again following game two. Hopefully a Nets win. Going to be an awesome game to watch. Going to be an awesome game to watch. All sort of this, the little chess pieces moving around the board as we roll through the playoffs here. Held the podcast, rate and review wherever you listen. Awesome numbers coming out of the weekend. Numbers have just been great over the last month or so. So appreciative of everyone that's been jumping on board, listening. We see these numbers every day. They continue to climb. It just makes us so excited. Couldn't be happier to have you on board. Couldn't be happier to be with you through this Nets playoff run. You can continue to help the podcast by visiting our sponsors and also rating and reviewing wherever you listen. Usually Adam gives a snappy quote from one of the great American poets. We're not going to do it today. That's Adam's purview. Don't want to jump into what he does so well. So I'll just say we'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.